Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. You know, I was recently having a discussion with someone about being an independent woman. You see, my mom told me I was born independent, and when my daughter was born, we nicknamed her Little Miss Independence. So it seems to have been in my family for decades. Now, that has nothing to do with not needing someone to take care of you. It had to do with being able to express your feelings and take care of yourself. Now, there are so many different definitions of being an independent woman without being an indifferent woman. And that's what the show is about today, your journey to being independent. So let's begin with the definition that must be true because it's on the internet after all. So according to Wikipedia, the definition of an independent woman is a woman who pays her own bills, buys her own things, and does not allow a man to affect her stability or self-confidence. She supports herself entirely on her own and is proud to be able to do so. Okay, so that seems to make some sense. However, there's so much more to this. But before we talk about what it is to be a strong, independent woman and what they do, let's talk about what they don't do. So as I was researching some ideas about being independent, I found an article about what independent women don't do. And I want to know, do you subscribe to any of these? First, they don't neglect their careers. Strong, independent women have their career at the forefront of their lives. Now, we all know that no matter your age, your gender, or any other factors, working hard is something everyone should do. And as women, we definitely need to practice that and keep our eyes on the future to reach whatever it is we're striving towards. Second, they don't fail to handle their own situations. Make sure you take care of whatever situation comes your way. Women need to learn to speak for themselves and need to have their voices heard. Third, they don't overreact to bad situations or mistakes. This is where the statement, be like a duck and let things roll off your back, comes into play. If you do find yourself in a difficult situation, use it as a lesson learned and grow from it. We all know that a bit of chocolate and some wine goes a long way, but whining too long can make a difficult situation one that you will not exit gracefully from. Next, they don't stop learning. As independent women, we should always strive to learn more and invest in ourselves to gain more knowledge. Letting someone stand in the way of you learning will take you back to square one. The fifth one is they don't act on first impulse. Have you heard that patience is a virtue? Well, as independent women, you have to practice patience and stay in control of your life, your choices, and your decisions. Think before you decide to act impulsively. The sixth one is they don't let other people affect their confidence. The things that make you stand out are your greatest assets. Feeling bad about yourself serves absolutely no purpose. So always remember, you're not like anyone else. You are way more awesome. And finally, they don't have unrealistic expectations. Creating goals and expectations is something everyone should be doing. Making them so far out of whack is the easiest form of setting yourself up for failure. So make sure yours will make you stretch, but not causing you to become a contortionist. So when we think about being independent, it really boils down to that you can express who you are without having to defend the fact that you're also female. It doesn't mean that you have to compare yourself to other women either. Having a female mentor or role model is great as long as it doesn't bring out that green monster. So concentrate on your strengths and positive qualities and how that can help you on the journey to being independent. Now, if we look back, traditionally men were the breadwinners of the household. But in today's world, women are not only bringing home the bacon, they're cooking and serving it and probably cleaning up as well. Just because women can provide for themselves doesn't mean they don't want to be wined and dined and taken care of. That's where some of the negative connotations of being strong and independent come in. Independent just means that a woman can take care of herself if she has to and does not need a man in the traditional sense, but she does want a man or a partner because, after all, we are relationship people. So let's move this over to the business arena. Women today are leaving the workforce in droves in favor of being at home, but it's not like being June Cleaver or Carol Brady. These are women that are opting to work in the home as entrepreneurs and showing their independence in ways that don't involve fighting their way to crash through that glass ceiling. Statistics show that women have been starting businesses at a higher rate than men for the last 20 years while they're creating home-based businesses. And by 2018, women will create over half of the 9.72 million new small businesses. So why are women doing this? They're trying to align their personal values, their professional goals, they're looking for freedom and flexibility, and yes, they're looking to become independent businesswomen. Now, we know that every business owner faces challenges in their professional lives, like balancing their time, managing people, staying profitable, but women, because of their gender, often have to deal with additional obstacles that their male peers are less likely to encounter. So here's just a few of them. The first one is perception. One challenge unique to women entrepreneurs is that the tradition of cultural perception is may or may not follow what they're used to. While in some cultures femininity may be considered a weakness, it's truly our greatest strength. Women excel in building relationships and connections. Leverage on that strength to create trust with the people you work with. They are naturally able to relate to and understand their customer needs. Now, Mary Kay Ash, founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics, said, "I know I had been denied opportunities to fulfill my optimum potentials simply because I was a woman. These feelings were not merely indulgences of self-pity because I had personally known so many other women who had suffered such injustices." The second is assertiveness. When it comes to their own careers, women are less likely to speak up than their male counterparts when it's coming to ask for a raise or discussing their career path. But remember those relationships we build? Negotiating sometimes can rock the boat, so many women decide not to ask. The secret here is to sell yourself and demonstrate your knowledge and competence. You have to remind yourself that it's not personal, it's business. J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter, said, "What's the worst that could happen? Everyone turned me down? Big deal." The third, competition. Women tend to value collaboration over competition. If you perform well in your career, you'll face competition. If you say you're not facing any competition, it only means you're not doing enough. So instead of looking at competition as a bad thing to avoid, think of it as a natural process that's part of your growth. Remember why you started your business in the first place. So see what your competition is doing that you really love, but more importantly, see what they're doing that you don't love and make sure you course correct that in your business. Debbie Fields, founder of Mrs. Fields Bakery, said, "There's always competition. Whatever you do, there will be competition, and you have to decide how you're going to play. For me, I had to be the very best because if I wasn't the very best, I would end up being number two." And finally, our favorite topic, balance. Trying to juggle your business and your family is a challenge that most women face. And as I've mentioned before, the things that only you can do and that you love to do is what should be on your business plate. Try and outsource anything that can be taken off. Make sure you have time for yourself as well, just for you. Go for a walk, watch a mindless movie, or connect with a friend that you've been neglecting. Getting sleep, drinking water, eating healthy, and exercising will add to creating balance in your life. Jessica Goldman, she's the COO of Goldman Properties, said, "Don't be so hard on yourself. We're not perfect, but we can do a lot. And as women, we do, because women are extraordinary." So being an independent woman in today's world definitely has its perks and still has its challenges. I, for one, wouldn't change anything that I've done or am doing. I always say that everything we do and everyone we encounter is either a lesson or a blessing. So get ready to listen for some amazing lessons on beginning or continuing on that journey to being that strong, independent woman. When we come back, you'll hear from my very first expert who knows a thing or two or a thousand to helping women create their roadmap to success and independence. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves to the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you can join our discussion by calling in to 347-989-1363. Press number 1 and you'll get right on the show. Now I hope you're ready for our first guest because she's an amazing woman and has lots to share. Cheryl Atkins-Green serves as Mary Kay's Chief Marketing Officer. She leads the company's global marketing strategy, new product development, advertising, digital marketing, social media, and customer insights to drive long-term growth and support the success of the 3 million independent beauty consultants in more than 35 countries around the world. As the Chief Marketing Officer, Cheryl's goal is to anticipate what women want and then convert those trends and insights into irresistible beauty experiences. Since she joined Mary Kay in January of 2009, she's been instrumental in leading the development of a product portfolio strategy that is generating a sustainable stream of innovative skincare, color, and fragrance products. She's driving the development of strategic digital marketing and social media initiatives that are building brand loyalty and enabling independent beauty consultants to successfully sell Mary Kay products anytime, anywhere. In 2014, Cheryl received the Brand Innovator's Top 50 Women in Brand Marketing Award, and she was also named one of the most influential women in direct selling. She also recently was included in the Forbes list of the top 50 influential CMOs. In November 2013, Cheryl received the CMO Officer Award for the CMO Club, and in August 2012, she was the first recipient of the Global Marketer Award from the Academy of Marketing Science. She was honored to be featured in Valerie Burton's best-selling book, Successful Women Think Differently. And if you think that's not enough, outside of the office, she and her family are active supporters of Rainbow Days Incorporated, a not-for-profit organization serving at-risk children, and the Mary Kay Foundation. She's also a member of the Dallas Museum of Art Board of Trustees. Wow, Cheryl, welcome to the show. I am afraid we're going to run out of time just from your accolades.
Oh, so much, Judy.
I'm so honored that you have time to be our guest. So let's just jump right in because there's so many things I want to talk to you about.
Right.
So we're talking about being an independent woman. And so tell me, knowing that you support 3 million beauty consultants, what does that mean to be an independent businesswoman?
Well, it's a true honor that I have this opportunity to support our independent sales force. And I believe that independence, first of all, starts with the attitude and the belief that each of us is created to do great things and that we're capable of doing great things and we don't need anyone's permission to do those great things.
Very true. And I think that sometimes we kind of wait for somebody to say, okay, you can do this now.
Exactly.
Okay, so do you think
I was going to say, as it relates more specifically to Mary Kay and the independent beauty consultants, I'm in charge of making sure that they have the tools, the information, the products, all the things that they need to be beautiful, confident, and connected, and in essence, be successful in their business.
Right, but if you don't have that in the background, all the tools and the systems in place, it doesn't matter how fabulous you are in the front because it doesn't work. So you have a huge undertaking and a responsibility to all of these amazing independent beauty consultants.
Yes, and I also have a great team to work with, and they share my passion for this business and for this Mary Kay opportunity.
I bet. I would bet. So let me ask you a question. Do you think you can learn to be independent, or is it something, like I said earlier, that you're born with?
I think it's a little bit of both, and the reason why I say that is I think about children, and children, I think, are naturally born to be confident. They're curious. They explore. If you ask a little, you know, group of children when they're 5, 6, or 7, you know, how many of you are great artists? All those children are going to raise their hand. I think when we're born, we don't know about limitations. So we are, I think, born knowing that we can do many great things. I will say, though, over time, people, those voices come out, and I think we actually learn to be limited. So just as we learn to be limited, I think we can unlearn that, and we can relearn how to be independent in terms of how we think about ourselves and our potential.
That's very true. We start to leave things away from us. We push them away because they sound either too hard or somebody might laugh at us. So where does self-confidence come into play? Because you have to be self-confident in order to be independent, in order to take a risk, in order to do a lot of the things that we both do.
I think some of the reasons why we perhaps lose our confidence is that instead of defining our success against our own standards, we start to measure ourselves, compare ourselves to other people, other situations. Sometimes we're comparing our dress rehearsal to someone else's finale. In other words, we think that what someone maybe took years and years to do, I mean, there are no overnight sensations, as you know. It takes years of practice, work, dedication, yet we often look up to, you know, a role model, whether it's professionally or even in our personal lives, and feel that, you know, we should be where they are without really knowing their story and all that they've done to achieve where they are. So I do think that self-confidence really comes with using yourself as a benchmark and really being focused on being the best you that you can be, not the best somebody else.
Right, right. And I think you're right, you know, about the overnight sensations. A lot of people don't realize it's 20 years in the making to be that overnight sensation. So it's always amusing to me when people go, well, he just came out of nowhere. Well, not really. You only found him, but he's been trying to do this for 20 years.
Exactly.
So do you think that Mary Kay Ash was always as strong and independent as she was when she began the company back in 1963, when not many women would have taken that courage, would have had that courage to take that leap?
Well, you know, she actually was always a very self-confident woman, and in part it was because of the belief that her mother poured into her. Mary Kay Ash was in a situation where as a young child she needed to care for her father, who was very ill and basically an invalid, and her mother needed to work outside the home, even back in, you know, the early 20th century. And when Mary Kay Ash needed to either cook something for her father, take care of things at home, her mother would say, "Mary Kay, you can do it. Mary Kay, you can do it." And that really fueled Mary Kay Ash's belief in herself. And it was that belief in herself that really propelled her when she, too, became a single mother and needed to support her family of three children. So it was really, I think, one of the most important life lessons that she gained. And in turn, it was such a fundamental aspect of how she attracted and encouraged and tapped the potential of the early women who helped her kick her business off the ground in 1963.
Oh, that's tremendous, and her story is truly amazing. And you know, and we all know that we as women are tremendous relationship builders. So how do you think that fits into being a success, not only as an independent beauty consultant, but also as an entrepreneur?
I think in terms of relationships, I loved how you opened up the show, because being independent does not mean that you do not have relationships, that you don't benefit from relationships with others. And I would also venture to say that through our relationships with others, that's one of the ways that we build our confidence, because as we give to others, that reinforces what we are capable of. So sharing our gifts with others is a way to build our confidence. At the same time, we definitely need the support, the encouragement, the candid feedback from people in our lives. So relationships, I think, are essential to living an independent life.
Okay, so how about you, Cheryl? You work in a corporate environment, an amazing culture that you work in, and yet you do have an entrepreneurial spirit about you. So how do you balance both identities?
Well, I like to think of myself as a bit of an entrepreneur, and, you know, as I think about my career, I've always been attracted to situations where I could come in, make a difference, look at things differently, and really treat my, you know, professional opportunity as though it really is my own business. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've been successful, is that sense of empowerment and accountability that I've, you know, poured into a corporate career. And it's also one of the reasons why I love this opportunity to work with so many independent business women. But a spirit of entrepreneurship means that you think about yourself as, I'll say, the CEO of your life. So whether you are working right now within a company, maybe within a university, it really doesn't matter. I think it really starts with this attitude of you being in control of your destiny, you being in charge of your attitude. And that's another one of my favorite quotes from Mary Kay Ash, is that your attitude does determine your altitude. So that entrepreneurial spirit about doing what it takes, knowing you can make a difference, not being thrown off track by obstacles and looking at obstacles as opportunities. I think there's really a positive attitude and a positive energy that propels entrepreneurs, and I think you can bring that attitude and that energy into any work, any project.
You know, and it's so funny that you said that you treat the position as if it's your own company, because I've always done that, and I really find that it's such a benefit, because not only do you control it like it was your own business, but everybody else sees how much passion you put into it, and I think that goes a long way.
And I think with that passion, and that kind of fuels the confidence, so they do work hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other quotes that I like, well, there's so many, but one of the other quotes that I like from Mary Kay is that she said, success begins with a dream, and the first step in making dreams come true is to know what you want. Have a mental picture of your goals. Now, since we're at the beginning of, you know, 2015, and everybody's still setting goals and trying to actually keep them, what do you believe it takes to stay on track and achieve your goals?
Oh, wow. It's a big question, and certainly one that I wrestle with. I think, first of all, when you think about a goal, it needs to be something that's important to you. And so it's not only the what, it's the why. And it's really understanding how that goal, why that goal is so important to you. And one of the things that I heard a speaker share is, you know, is your goal, is it really big enough? Is your why big enough? So as a quick example, someone might say, you know, I want to lose weight. I'm sure most people have said that at least once or twice in their
mm-hmm.
life. But there's a difference between saying I want to lose weight and I want to look a certain way, for example, in my wedding gown on my wedding day. All of a sudden, that goal became a lot bigger because it had a bigger meaning in that person's life. So I think, you know, to take a goal and really be specific about what that goal is, it can't be just, and I'll again use the analogy of losing weight, but how much weight, by when, and for what reason? Is it appearance related? Is it health related, et cetera? So making that goal as tangible as possible, understanding the why, and then breaking that goal into some achievable milestones. I think too often we set big goals for ourselves, and either the goal is so big it's intimidating, or it's something that we can't necessarily achieve in a, you know, week or two, maybe a month. But if you take that goal and break it down into some achievable increments, that's what really, I think, helps reinforce your confidence that you can achieve that goal. So I think sometimes people rush and want to achieve a goal too quickly, and they're not patient with themselves. And I think that was one of the other things you highlighted at the beginning of the show. Part of being independent is being patient with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not the easiest thing, especially as entrepreneurs. We want it now. We want to figure it out now. But, you know, one of the biggest challenges that women have, and you mentioned it and I mentioned it, is about that work-life balance thing. And you said that you learned that having it all does not mean doing it all. So what can you share with our listeners about that? Because that's a huge statement.
Well, it took me a while. I do have two children, and I'm grateful for the support that my husband provides. But throughout the years, with particularly a dual career marriage, we've had to do a lot of juggling and improvising along the way. I remember once I put my son to bed in his little preschool clothes just so I wouldn't have to worry about dressing him in the morning when I knew he was going to be asleep. And I'll be honest, I felt guilty that, you know, I didn't put him to bed in his cute little pajamas like, you know, I pictured all the other moms were doing. But you do have to delegate and be willing to make some trade-offs. I remember another time running through Grand Central Station and buying cupcakes at the bakery there to get to my son's school for his birthday party. The cupcakes weren't that great, but at least I got to school. He knew I was there. And I think that's really what has helped me, is to really focus more on the moments and maybe give up a little, as it might relate to some of the trappings, if you will, some of the maybe some of the decorations or how fancy the package is wrapped, but really more about being there in those moments when your children, your friends, your family are looking for you, and not to beat yourself up mentally or carry that guilt around just because, you know, you're not necessarily the Martha Stewart of your neighborhood, but just to know that you are being the friend, the parent, the spouse, the partner that the people in your life need, and really use that as the measure. And it comes right back again to not comparing yourself to maybe the stay-at-home mom who's a fabulous baker and sewing all of the Halloween costumes by hand, and just knowing that if you get your child a costume that they're happy with and you have fun on Halloween, that's what counts.
Right, and I think it's really inappropriate for teachers to say you need to create a costume and you need to sew it when people definitely don't sew, me included. but I do hear what you're saying, especially, you know, like, you know, I am not the best gift wrapper. I'm not. But I do wrap the gifts. And so it's a joke now that, you know, people will take the present out of the pile and go, oh, your mom wrapped this. But they know it, you know, that my heart was in it, you know.
So, having it all, there are certainly some wonderful family times and experiences that I've been able to enjoy. There's times when I've, you know, been able to bring my children to work with me. They are both huge Mary Kay fans, and I love the fact that Mary Kay as a company does value time with family so much. So just as the independent beauty consultants are able to make choices about how they spend their time between their family and their career, I also love the fact that as a company, that's part of our culture here. So having it all doesn't mean that on any one given day or given month that I have this perfectly balanced life, but I feel really great that when I need to devote the time to family and friends and community, I'm able to do that. And there are going to be those other times where I may be traveling a lot and heavily invested in business commitments, but I'm able to look back over the, you know, year, over several years, and feel really great about all that I've been able to do.
Well, that's really important, and, you know, the culture is huge. But you know what? We do have a caller who has a question for you. Morgan,
okay.
Are you there? Morgan, is that you?
Hi.
Morgan?
Yes.
Do you have a question for Cheryl? Good.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to know, I'm a graduating senior. I'm graduating in May, and I'm also a marketing and management major. And so I kind of wanted to know, how did you get into a company? How did you start off, and how did you make your first few months and years impactful, and how did you make your vision shown in the beginnings of those first steps into what you made into your career?
That's a 10-part question, Cheryl.
Yeah, sorry.
In 20 words or less. Actually, I've always been attracted to marketing, sales, business, leadership opportunities. So after going to college, I actually majored in retailing and then went on to get my MBA. I think the first advice I would share is to make sure that you find a company that is committed to providing training and the work experience that are going to help you take what you've learned in college and apply it. I love the fact that in this day of social media and digital tools, there are so many great ways to, I think, put marketing ideas into action quickly. So I would look for those experiences. And I would also say within the role, part of showing people your ability is being comfortable marketing yourself. And that doesn't mean bragging about yourself. I know women often hesitate to toot their own horn, but you are hired by a company to add value, and adding value means you're sharing your ideas. I always suggest to people, do what you say, say what you do. Be accountable for what you promise to deliver, but also let people know what you are contributing, and those things will get you noticed.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I've loved the show.
Thanks,
so far.
Morgan.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, Cheryl, we are at the bottom of the hour, so two things. First, how can our listeners connect with you and stay connected with you and follow you and everything else?
Well, two things that I enjoy doing is sharing marketing news, inspiration, leadership articles, et cetera, on a couple of different social media channels, Twitter and Instagram. And on both of those channels, my name is Sherry A-G, and I'll spell it, S-H-E-R-R-Y-A-G. And I have found it's a great way. I've met people really from all over the world, and it's just those are two great forums to exchange, again, ideas and inspiration.
Okay, that's perfect. And we've already put up the blog, the link to the blog.
Thank you. I also like to blog on the Mary Kay Beauty That Counts blog, so thank you for that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I read it and I share it because there's some great information. And the last one was about pick up the remote control of your life. And it was part one of two, so I'm waiting for part two. But that's the link is out there for everyone. And my last thing for you is, what do you want to leave our listeners with today?
Oh, well, thanks. Actually, part two just posted. And
yay.
The thing that I'd love to leave your listeners with is to take away that they are great people capable of great things. And not to let anyone ever dim the light that's shining within them.
Awesome. Well, Cheryl, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you and everything you do for women everywhere, and I hope I can twist your arm to come back again.
Thank you. I'd love to, Judy.
All right. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, great. Have a great week.
You too. And we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsor, The Report for Women, an important resource for women in business. Check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com and you subscribe for free. This report will automatically update in your favorite places and you get some great information. So if you're ready to watch your business get some awesome buzz, become one of our sponsors. Go to www.sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com and click on the sponsor tab and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you just had an amazing guest that you can connect with on social media, and you've got another one coming up. So I want to make sure you connected with us. Simply like us on Facebook on Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. You can be my friend on Facebook at Judy Hoberman, and of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. And you can use hashtag Selling in a Skirt and Skirt Wisdom as well. And don't forget, you can find all my shows on iTunes. It's a very cool process. Okay, I am excited to bring in my next amazing guest, DJ Swinyar. DJ is an author, a speaker, an investment fund manager. He's a two-time semifinalist for the World Championship of Public Speaking and was also a featured presenter for the 2013 TEDx DFW Conference. In high school, he was voted most likely to live at home with his parents forever and most likely to be a stay-at-home dad. He holds a BS in psychology, and he uses all that when he analyzes the stock market. And he believes that all stock market is all psychology, and he's even called the market psychologist. So welcome to the show, DJ. We are going to have some fun with you today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on, Judy.
It's going to be so much fun. So we're going to dive right in, and we're going to talk about being independent. Obviously, you can't talk about actually being an independent woman, but you can talk about the importance of being able to take care of yourself and, therefore, being independent.
Exactly. I can't speak, you know, from the woman's perspective, but I can definitely talk about a lot of the advantages to going independent and, you know, having your own company, being the entrepreneur, essentially.
Okay, so tell me about what's a step that you would say is important to being an independent?
The number one thing I think is you got to have patience. When you go independent and start your own company, you're not going to be getting a paycheck right away, obviously. And there's so much groundwork that needs to be done. And really, I would just say be patient and celebrate the little wins that come along during the startup phase, because that is truly the most frustrating part is the startup. But stick with it, because eventually everything does come back around and all of your hard work will be rewarded. But just remember, be patient during the startup phase.
Yeah, you're right. It is difficult. And if you don't celebrate the little things, it's just, you know, you just keep spinning your wheels. But what about, you know, what women are passionate about in their lives? Is that a good start on the road to being independent?
I would say absolutely. Your passion defines you, first of all. And what I like is we don't just have one passion as human beings. And especially as women, I've noticed women can have multiple passions, whereas guys tend to be a lot more, not just one passion, maybe just a couple. When you really look at it, going independent, one of the first things you need to do is be able to describe what your niche is. And there's, you know, you're in the industry, Judy, you know, there's such a push towards people finding that niche market. This is where I think women have an advantage, because you can form your own niche by combining multiple passions, multiple strengths that you have. Whenever you combine those, you're essentially carving out your own niche, because other people out there don't have all the exact passions, all the exact talents that you have. So by combining your passions, that's when you're carving out your niche. And once you've carved out your niche, that is such an advantage when going independent.
Yeah, they say the smaller the niche, the more profitable it is.
What is it, riches in niches?
Yes, that's right. So in your experience working with women, do you believe that one of the things that holds us back are our limiting beliefs?
I would say absolutely. I think a big limiting belief, kind of going back to what I was just saying, is building up the frustration, wondering, well, how am I going to, you know, be able to live this passion out, or how am I going to be able to express this? A lot of times that limiting belief of thinking that there's nothing there behind your passions, I would say give it a try. Go test it out. Test your passions out and see if it works out. But that's definitely one limiting belief that I would think that would get in the way of a lot of women who are looking to, you know, go out there, start their own business, be independent and be an entrepreneur. I would say just first test it out, talk to people, and that limiting belief you have for whatever reason or whatever it may be that's keeping you from stepping out, just test it out, see how it works out, and I think you'd be surprised.
Okay. So having a degree in psychology definitely gives you an advantage in business. Now, my son also has one, and while he uses it in business really successfully, he's been using it on me for many years. So, yeah. So where does psychology come into play for you?
Well, it comes in every day, obviously, but specifically in the investment field, it comes into play when analyzing charts. Now, it sounds boring at first, but if you were to break down a chart, whether it's a stock chart, a commodities chart, that chart is representing all the buying and selling activity of whatever stock you're looking at. So, for example, say if you're looking at a stock of Apple, most people will see it and just see numbers and lines on a computer screen. But what I see, like I said, it represents the buying and the selling activity. What I see are essentially the emotions behind that chart. And the two emotions that drive markets, they are fear and greed. Now, there are certain patterns that set up before a big move to the upside and certain patterns that set up to the downside, and it's all psychology-based.
Interesting.
Now, for example, a lot of people, the way they invest, and this is typically how the standard is for the industry, they'll look at financial records, they'll look at earnings reports, and earnings reports is essentially companies who say, okay, over the last quarter we did this. We expect to do this over the next quarter. Now, here's why I say it's all psychology. There are so many times when a company will report record earnings saying, oh, last quarter was our most profitable quarter ever. You would think they should be popping champagne bottles, should be jumping up and down, hugging each other. But oddly enough, a lot of times when you see that, the stock will then go down, and down in a big way sometimes. Now, the reason is the psychology behind it, because they think, well, this quarter was so great, we clearly won't be able to match it next quarter. And so once again, that fear steps in. So that's what I mean by what I'm saying. I'm really managing the fear and the greed in the market.
That's pretty interesting. So let's go into your business a little bit. So being the owner of your own investment fund at an early age could have brought you to a screeching halt when everyone you were meeting were quite a bit older. Did your psychology training help you with this, or did you just say, I can do this, it's no big deal? How did you get past that? Because you know as well as I do that when somebody young comes in to talk to you about money that may not have life experiences, you always think, yeah, well, they don't know what they're talking about. So how did you get through that?
Well, going back to, like you said, limiting beliefs, that was the strongest limiting belief I had, was that, well, when I go to manage people's money, they're going to see me thinking I'm young and don't know what I'm talking about. But what I did was I learned early on just basically to address people's concerns. Whenever I'm 28 now, I started when I was 26 running the investment fund. I could easily see when, you know, guys or girls would be handing me over their statements, wanting me to talk about investments, and I would just bring it up. I said, you know, you can talk to other people who will tell you they've been in the business 20, 30 years, but what they've been in the business of doing is essentially just selling clients, handing out brochures. They don't have any investment experience. And I explained to them, I've actually got 12 years of hands-on investment experience, meaning not that I'm going door-to-door handing out brochures, handing out pamphlets, talking about, oh, this is how you should invest. My experience comes from the hands-on analyzing the charts, doing actual investing. That's where the experience comes from. So when you really add it up, I've got more experience than most people out there that you'll talk to. And that really seemed to resonate with them. So I would say whenever you do have those limiting beliefs, make it easier on yourself and address them with your potential clients.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that you're probably right. You probably should bring up the objection that before it comes up. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Good. Okay, so I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. And
all
you're
right.
A speaker, and you have been a presenter for TEDx, like I said earlier, right here in Dallas, and as well as being a two-time semifinals for the World Championship for Public Speaking. Okay, so how does all of that fit into your business? And first of all, congratulations, because that's pretty awesome.
Hey, thank you. Well, the way that fits in is when we're doing seminars and presenting, learning over the 2 years that I spent basically competing and trying to get up to the world championships, I learned so many details about presenting, and presenting really is one of those things where you may see a great presenter and think, man, that was a great speech that she did, or, man, I really resonated with what she said, or I like. You may not know all the details of why you liked it so much. Well, a great presenter truly knows all the little things, and when you take care of all those little things, it makes for an amazing performance, an amazing, you know, seminar or delivery. So when coming down to the investment side, going through those 2 years really, really benefited me to where now I can present very professionally from stage because of my coaches who spent so much time training me.
I think that's pretty interesting. So you talk about pattern recognition in speaking. Talk about that. What does that mean, and what's the benefit of it, and how do you use it?
Well, pattern recognition is, I have very, very big ADD. But one of the things, for some reason with ADD, I learned that I can get things done quicker just by putting together patterns. And as a result of that, that's how I've done everything in my life, the way my investment systems are, like I mentioned earlier, finding those patterns before a big move that are psychology-based. But especially mm-hmm. with speaking, there are so many things that a presenter will do correctly. And finding those patterns. Now, relating specifically to the World Championship of Public Speaking, the first thing I did when I decided I wanted to compete at that level, I went and found every past winning speech that I could. And I would watch them. I would study them. The way the World Championship of Public Speaking works is you have 7.5 minutes to give a message that will essentially move your audience, make them laugh, really motivate them. It's typically the moving, inspirational stories that win. So that was the first pattern that I picked up on. The second pattern was, unlike, say, a stand-up comedian who has people laughing, say, every 20, 30 seconds, in the World Championship of Public Speaking, those speeches, you want to have some humor sprinkled throughout your message, but not have humor being the dominating factor in the speech, but you want to have it sprinkled. That was another pattern. And really, mm-hmm. just a combination of all those discoveries and putting it on paper, what I noticed that all the great past winners had in common, I then would start putting together a speech kind of combining all those patterns.
And so that's how you became a semifinalist?
Yes, that's what I truly do. Plus, it's not all me either. I had an amazing coach, Pat Quick is her name, and she mm-hmm. spent so much time working with me and just getting me out of my comfort zone and kind of saying, okay, now we need to work on this. Now we need to work on this part of your speech, or now we need to focus on doing this a little bit differently. She is a veteran speaker and just an amazing presenter, so she really also helped me with that learning curve.
Okay. And so you're also calling, I don't know if you gave yourself the title or someone else did, I love the title, market psychologist. So what is that, how do you earn that, or how does that work, or tell me about that.
Well, whenever we get clients on board, I always have to give, you know, basically my life story, where I've worked in the past, what my education comes from, and right on there, psychology. So a lot of clients would see that I had a psychology degree. Plus, as I would go over their statements with them and talk about the market, what I was seeing, there was no way I could keep that aspect out of it because that's how I invest. And I told them, I said, the market is all psychology. The way we operate is we identify major fear in the market before a major market crash, and we look to get out and move into cash to avoid that major market crash like another 2008. And just as I kept talking multiple times, people would say, well, you're pretty much the market psychologist. And eventually it just stuck.
I love that. I love that. Okay, now you also co-authored a book. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff in your young little life here, buddy. So you wrote co-authored a book called Our Two Cents. So what's it about, and what made you sit down and write it? Because I know tons of people that want to write a book and just don't.
And that is so true. That's for years I've been wanting to write a book, and like you said, it just never got around to it. But to tell that story of Our Two Cents, I got to tell you how I started the investment fund. The way I started it was going back to like that limiting belief of me being much younger than what the average financial advisor and investor or fund manager is out there. I had a couple guys that I knew, and what they did is they did financial, but they focused on the guaranteed side of investing. So meaning you get guaranteed this much every year. But you have to have money tied up in those investments for about 5-6 years. You can't remove them or there's a penalty. So I talked with them. I said, hey, I love your philosophy about keeping money safe and the way you guys invest. And I explained to them what I did. They loved the philosophy as well because I could focus on the stock market side where there are no guarantees, but I built systems that would basically minimize risk based on psychology. So they loved that also. I then got with them. We worked so closely, and kind of that's how the fund got born that I'm running now. And they were able to send clients on board immediately who wanted to be part of the guaranteed side but not leave all their money tied up so they could put money in with me. That's how the fund got started. Well, these guys, the name of their company is Safe Retirement Expert. They are so passionate about educating the client and keeping the client's money safe. They were in the process of writing a book, and they said, hey, why don't you come on board with us and co-author this book with us? And that's where our two cents came out, where it basically talked, this is our two cents on the financial industry, on investing, all that financially related stuff. So that's the story behind that book.
That's funny. I love that. Here's my two cents. Okay. And I understand there's another book on the way. What's that going to be about?
That one is going to be The Market Psychologist.
Okay.
And it's just funny how it all came about. Like, never planned on, you know, calling myself the market psychologist or writing a book based on the market psychology. But just the more and more I kept talking about it, I thought, well, this would be great format for a financial book because, number one, it's funny. It's got, like I said, the fear, the greed, talking about the emotions of the market, even talking about how you could compare this chart to, say, like an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend. That's what I've kind of named the pattern setups is this is the, you know, storm before the fight or whatever. And so that's kind of a fun way to teach people how to invest by finding these patterns before big moves and incorporating the psychology behind them.
Very cool. So what's next for you, DJ? What's on the horizon for you?
I think for me is just to keep focusing on the fund and basically get that second book underway. That, to me, the hardest part is to sit down and write. So a lot of times I'll just take presentations that I've done, get it transcribed word for word, then go and edit it. So that's really what I'm focusing on doing right now.
Okay. And how can our listeners connect with you so they can watch the book being developed and everything else that you're doing and get some more tips from the market psychologist?
Sure, sure. The easiest way to do that would be to go to our website. And the name of the company is Green Hill Capital Management. And the website is www.greenhillcm, the letters CM for capital management, greenhillcm.com. And from there, you can sign up for our free newsletter. It's not spam. We will not email you every day. It's just a free newsletter that comes out once a month. And that's where we kind of talk about what the market's doing, the psychology behind it, as well as any updates going on with the book coming out.
Awesome. And last but not least, what do you want to leave our listeners with today?
I think, especially for your audience, when it comes to women, women don't just have one strength or two strengths. Women have so many strengths. I know, going back to my mom, who, an amazing woman, and to list her strengths, you'd be listing them all day. I would encourage women to combine your strengths, your unique talents, your unique abilities, your unique passions to you. Combine those and see what kind of company can you make behind that? What kind of way can you benefit others and help others with all of your passions and your strengths? And I believe when you do that, you've essentially formed your niche. So that's what I would encourage your audience to do, is just go out there, use your passions and your strengths, and just benefit others with them.
Awesome. That's great advice. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing the mic with me today. You have a different approach to business, and I am impressed with all your strategies. And I do hope you'll come back and keep us updated.
Sounds good. I will, Judy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show with a few differences in the way that women become independent and try to get on that road. This is Judy Hoberman, Selling in a Skirt, and I'm on Tough Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. So here's a few tips on becoming and staying independent. The first one is stay educated. There is no better way to be respected by your peers than being seen as educated. And I'm not talking about having only a formal education. I'm talking about showing your intelligence in conversations, trainings, and discussions. Second, speak up for yourself. You definitely don't want to be seen as a doormat. You have to learn to stand up for yourself so you're not taken advantage of. Third, take care of yourself physically. To be seen as independent, you also have to be seen as taking care of yourself. And again, I'm not talking about being model thin. I'm talking about being strong mentally, emotionally, and physically. Without this combination, you just might not have to worry about anything else. Your independence depends on being healthy in all aspects of your life. Fourth, manage your finances. Take a good look at where you are financially, where you want to be, and how you're going to get there. To be independent means that you're in your financial portion of your life, you're being a good steward of your money, you're prioritizing your spending, and that you know what's coming in and going out. This is where we differentiate between our wants and our needs. And finally, as in anything else, pay it forward. Give back to those who need your experience, whether it's someone already in your business world or a new woman entering that world for the first time. While this doesn't necessarily involve your finances, it does involve the most expensive asset that you have, your time. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.